Lord is set on that heavenly shore, and my mind is stayed on Jesus, my Lord. Well, it seems I can hear that heavenly song. I just abide on my way home.
I'm day I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And we went down to the house where I used to live. My little girls ran and hid behind the door. I said, children, don't be afraid. You got a new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the dad I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Here with us today, and I want you to turn your Bible into the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter number 19. We're going to take our text for a little while today with the help of the Lord. Again, Brother Buchanan, man, he just plowed the ground on Friday night, and then yesterday evening, man, what a blessing that was. And I appreciate his faithfulness. Again, I appreciate all the folks that was involved, from the food preparation to the cleaning up last night. A lot of things go into that, and I appreciate everybody's effort with that. And again, thank those that were here. But 2 Samuel chapter number 19 is where we're looking today. And of course, if you understand this, as you look into the Old Testament, of course, we are in the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament age, of course, the age of grace. We've got 66 books in our Bible, beginning in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And in between all of that is God's Word to you and I. Now, there's a lot of folks say, well, you know, we really don't need to look in the Old Testament. And, of course, the historical side, there is history there. There's a lot of things in the prophets and different things we look at. But there's a great application for you and I even today in 2024 as we're going to look at. Of course, we're looking at the life of David, King David. And a King David at this particular time, a little bit of context of this, he's been on the throne and there's been a revolt, and Absalom, his son, has overthrown him, and he's been in pursuit, and David is running. And at this particular time, by the time we read this, Absalom, his son, is dead. And the king, David, is coming back. And he is at the Jordan River, Brother Ed, and he's getting ready to cross over. Now, he's been gone quite some time, but he made the promise that he was going to return, and he is returning. Now, by way of application today, the Lord Jesus Christ made a promise to you and I today. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he left, he ascended on that Galilean hillside in Acts chapter number 1. And as he ascended, the men stood gazing up into heaven. Those two angels stood by and said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus which you've seen taken into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up. In other words, a promise was given. Jesus left many years ago after his death, burial, and resurrection, walking around in a glorified body for 40 days. He ascended on that Galilean hillside, but he made the promise that I'm coming back. He still ain't changed his mind. A lot of folks got in years on you, say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, it don't matter. That don't make a flip. He's still going to return. It ain't changed his mind. He's still going to return in a day, in an hour, in which we think not. Now listen, the Lord Jesus is not a thief, but the Bible said he's coming as a thief. Well, what's the point in that? You never know when a thief's going to show up. You better be ready. You better watch, and you better be sober. You better be alert, because he made that promise, he's going to return. So as the king's going to return, King David is returning, and he finds some folks. We're going to look at that this morning. I believe all of us will be in one of those positions that he found some people in. Again, Absalom, his son, is dead. He's at the Jordan River getting ready to come back. Notice what your Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse number 15. So the king returned, and that is King David. Again, Absalom is dead at this point. 2 Samuel 19, verse 15. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Brother Evan, King David had been gone, but now he's come back. And guess what he did? He came back to meet some people. King Jesus is going to come back one day, and he's going to meet us as we are. Let's pray. Father, as we bow, God, in your presence, Lord, again this morning. Lord, we sure do need that anointing, sure do need that unction. I need that touch. I pray that you'd touch this feeble preacher now for the next few minutes. Lord, I confess that I'm nothing. You are everything. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to unveil our hearts and our minds and our lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit would search hearts here today. If there's one lost, never been saved, I pray that today would be that good, happy hour that sinner walks the aisle and gives her heart and life to Jesus. I pray for the child of God walking a far distance from you. God, I just pray that you'd reel them back in. Pray for that with the needs of encouragement today. Lord, we're glad you made a promise you're going to return. And Lord, you hadn't changed your mind. Help us to be faithful. I pray that you put the guard of God before my lips and my thoughts now. Lord, touch us, I pray. Have the preeminence. We'll give you thanks, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. King David is gone, and he's coming back. He's at the Jordan River, and according to the word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse number 15, so the king returned, just like Jesus is going to return one day, and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. You'll see here in just a few minutes that David meets a group of people. There's at least four of them. And I do believe this by way of application for you and I, as David meets these people, he meets them in a condition. And when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to meet us in the condition in which we are. There's four conditions we're going to look at today, and they all start with W. The first position here you'll find in verse number 16. Notice the first people that he meets. The Bible said in verse 16, and Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now, when you look at old Shimei here, Shimei is a picture of the wayward. You say, well, how in the world is that a picture of the wayward? Let me give you the definition of the word wayward. Wayward means difficult to control or predict because of unusual or perverse behavior. That's what it means to be wayward. Well, how was Shimei wayward, Brother Harold? Well, when David left out, when Absalom had him on the run and David left out, guess what old Shimei was doing? Shimei was sitting back throwing rocks at the king. But now the king has returned. And the king meets Shimei, which is a picture of the wayward. Again, the word of God, you can flip back if you want to see a picture of this in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. This is the same guy that the king meets, getting ready to come back across the Jordan River. The Bible said that his name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Who's he cursing? He's cursing King David, as David is on his way out. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered a kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Now that's what happened when David left. When David left, Shimei not only throwing stones at the king, he's throwing stones at the king's kids. But now the king has returned, and he meets him, and we consider Shimei one of those wayward folks. Well, think about this. Shimei was a stone thrower. Now, even in our day, we have stone throwers. We sure do. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 7. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. You remember that lady that was caught in the midst of adultery, right in the smack dab middle of it, and they brought her unto Jesus and said, hey, the law of Moses said we ought to stone her, but what say ye? They were looking to try to trap him in something, but he said, hey, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And listen, this man, Shimei, was casting stones at the king. And a lot of folks say, well, man, I wouldn't ever cast stones at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wouldn't ever talk about the Lord in that manner. I wouldn't ever throw a stone. But you don't have any problem talking about his kids. Amen. You don't have any problem throwing a stone at some of the king's kids. Is that a way you want the king to find you when he comes back? Because he's still going to return. He ain't changed his mind. He's still going to return one of these days. Well, we don't know when. He's coming as a thief of the night. And you better be ready. You better be prepared. You better not be in that wayward position, because that's how he's going to find you. In other words, we ought to watch our tongue. The Bible even talks about that we ought to be slow to speak and swift to hear. You know, God give us two ears and one mouth. I'll do twice as much listening as we do talking. Amen. Don't you try to turn that back on the preacher now. It's only 10:40 right now. Amen. I ain't preaching that long, believe me. But understand, the wayward, that is a picture of Shimei. And understand, Shimei was one of those complainers. He was complaining. You read that in 2 Samuel 16. As he's leaving, he's talking trash unto the king and to the king's kids and all of his servants. You know, God does not like complainers. Do you know that? He don't like complainers. Why is that? That tells you that people are unsatisfied and basically saying that God ain't good. When you complain, you're literally saying God's not been good to me. Every one of us can say God's been good. Even if you're lost today, God's been good to you, because he's given you another opportunity to hear the gospel message and to be saved and to have your sins forgiven, to have your sins washed away, to be forgiven based on the grace that he offers to us. But when we complain, it displeases the Lord. You got any Bible for that? Well, there's a lot of Bible, but it is crystal clear right here in the book of Numbers chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible said, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Here, old Shimei was a rock thrower. And by way of application, we can be a rock thrower with our words. Amen. We can be complainers and we can be gossipers, but we would be considered the way. Is that how you want Jesus to find you when he comes? Because he's coming. How are you going to meet the king? I didn't give you the title, but how are you and I going to meet the king? When he comes back, we're going to meet him as we are. If when he returns, we're going to meet him. When we close our eyes in death, we're going to meet him. Let's not be on the wayward side. Amen. Watch your lips. Watch the complaining, because God has been good to every one of us. If nothing else, if you're saved by the grace of God, just think about that song Brother Kevin just sung, thanks to Calvary, I ain't the man I used to be. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not the woman you used to be. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus still makes all the difference in the world. But let's not be wayward, because how in the world are we going to meet the king? Shimei met him in a wayward position. But that ain't the only one that met him. Not only was Shimei wayward, we find a man by the name of Mephibosheth. Notice, drop down with me to verse number 24. And I could have read that whole text, but look at verse 24 of 2 Samuel 19. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Old Mephibosheth. Now it says there he was the son of Saul. He's the grandson of Saul. Because you see, Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And you go back into the Old Testament there in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, I believe it is. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. When old Mephibosheth was 5 years old, when the word had come that Saul and Jonathan had been killed, Brother Harold, his nurse, picked him up at 5 years old and hasted to get him out and dropped him. And the Bible said that Mephibosheth became lame on his feet. Now, he was one of the heirs, being the son of Jonathan, to the throne, could have been to Israel. Now, a lot of the other sons were killed, but Mephibosheth was protected and he was kept. And then in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, God put on David's heart to show kindness unto the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. If you'll remember, Jonathan and David's heart had knit one to another, and they loved one another as their own soul. And because of Jonathan's sake, David said, you know, I want to show favor. I want to show grace. I want to show mercy. I want to show kindness unto the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And he chose Mephibosheth, that was crippled, that was lame on his feet. David said, he's going to sit at my table. And sure enough, he did. Well, David has been exiled. Absalom has run him off. But now the king's come back. He met old Shimei that was wayward. Last time David seen him, he was casting stones and he was complaining about him being a bloody man. And he was casting stones at his kids and all of his servants. But now here old Mephibosheth, he's a picture of those that are waiting. Waiting for the return of their king. Notice what the Bible said in verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Now, why is that? Why didn't he trim his beard? Why didn't he wash his clothes? Because he was in mourning. He was praying because his king had left and had departed. Yet he was waiting all with anticipation for the day that the king would return. He knew that he was going to return. And he's sitting there and he's waiting for him. He remained loyal. He remained steadfast to the king of Israel. Boy, you and I, as the children of God, we ought to remain faithful. We ought to remain steadfast to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he hadn't returned yet, but understand, friend, he's going to return one day. And you and I ought to be waiting. And while we're waiting, we ought to be working. But we ought to be waiting with anticipation for the return of the king. See, he was waiting on that day. Remember, some of you that are married and have been married, you remember that day on that wedding day? Brother DJ, you better get ready. Brother Logan, better get ready too. That's coming here in a few short days as the Lord tarries. It's coming. Marriage is on the horizon. And you're sitting back and you're waiting there. You and the preacher, I used to always tell them, the people that I was getting ready to marry, I said, now, wait a minute. I said, listen. I said, don't be nervous, especially the groom. I said, don't be nervous. When we first walk out, all eyes are going to be on you. But when that bride comes out, you can forget it. If you need to pick your nose, if you need to wipe your head, just go ahead. Because ain't nobody going to be looking at you. Am I telling it right? Because when that bride starts down the aisle, those heads begin to turn. And everybody's going to be looking at the bride. Think about the groom waiting in anticipation for his bride. We're to wait for an anticipation. Old Mephibosheth, he ain't trimmed his beard. Man, he ain't changed his clothes. He ain't took a bath. And a symbol of mourning from the day that the king left, he's looking over the horizon in anticipation for the king to return. Think about this. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly, even so I come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22 and verse 12 said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. When King David returned there on that side of Jordan, he met the wayward in Shimei, but he also met old Mephibosheth. There was a picture of mourning and anticipation waiting for his king. Are you ready for the Lord to return? Are you prepared to close your eyes in death? If not, boy, you need to get things right today. David met the wayward. He met the waiting, but he also met the working people. You say, well, he's talking about the working. Notice as you drop on down. I encourage you to go back and read this text, all of it. Verse 31, the Bible said, 2 Samuel 19, verse 31. Here's another individual that he meets. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. So he's 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Now, you think about this. When the king comes back there at Jordan, he meets Barzillai, which is a picture of those that are working, those servants of the Lord. When Jesus returns, if he had returned 5 minutes ago, would you consider yourself wayward? Would you consider yourself waiting? Or would you consider yourself working? If you're not in any of those classes, you better get in some of them, amen, because he's going to return one day. And old Barzillai, 80 years old. And by the way, don't tell me too old to do something. Don't tell me too young to do something. No, if you got breath, God can use you. It doesn't matter. Listen, he's not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability for service. He can take what little you got, what little I got, and he can use it. He can multiply. He can increase it. Hey, if God can take those in John chapter 6, he can take those two small fishes and five barley loaves and feed over 5,000 men, besides women and children, probably around 14,000 on that day. If God can do that, surely he can take something that I got. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You mean God can use him perfect people? That's all he's got to work with. You mean God can use broken people? That's all he's got to work with, man. What I'm trying to say is, all he wants from us is availability. He don't care about our ability. He will enable us. He will incapable us to do things that we weren't able to do without him. And old Barzillai, at 80 years old, has helped King David. To read the context of that, you can flip back a couple pages if you want to. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 27. Listen to this. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parts corn and beans and lentils and parts pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Old Barzillai didn't hold back, Brother Harold. When he helped the king, he said, King, I'm not going to withhold anything from you. I'm going to give you all I got. He presented it all. And boy, on that day, David had departed. Now he comes back, and guess who David meets? He meets old Barzillai when the king returns. That working crowd that works for him. And do keep in mind, listen, you don't work to be saved. You work because you are saved. Yeah, man, you don't wait to be saved. You wait because you are saved. This thing ain't about what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, man, we'd all be condemned. Yeah, man, but that's where grace come in. The Bible still said in Ephesians 2, verse 3, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is not based upon what we do, it's based upon what he did on the cross over 2,000 years ago, as Brother Kevin hit it well. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. And boy, Barzillai, here he is, he represents that working crowd, and he's faithful in his latter years, 80 years old at this point. It sort of reminds me of what Jesus said. In Luke chapter number 19, it sort of hits on what Brother Buchanan hit on Friday night about making investments. But listen to what Jesus said. Luke 19 and verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus is talking about himself going into a far country and then returning. But he made this statement in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That word occupy literally means for us to be good stewards with what we've been entrusted with. Everything I have, listen now, everything you have has been entrusted to you from God. Every gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible said in James chapter 1, verse number 70, lets us know that every gift, you might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I get up every morning, man, I work hard for the things that I've got at my house. And that's great. I believe man ought to work. The Bible said if a man don't work, he ought not eat. That's what the scripture says. But understand this, at the end of the day, Brother Ed, who do you think gives us strength to get up in the morning? Who do you think puts oxygen in the and allows our lungs to function, our heart to beat? We live, we move, we have our being because of Him. And because of Him, He's the one that gets the glory. And He entrusts us, and we're to occupy till He comes. That's what it said. Luke chapter 19, you read again, verse number 30. He said, I'm going into a far country, but when I come, He said, you better occupy. You better be good stewards. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2 said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be faithful with what God has given to you and I. Old Barzillai was. He didn't hoard up all that butter and that kine and that cheese and those beds and those nuts, those raisins. He gave to the king of Israel. And boy, we ought to give what we can unto the Lord. Does He need that? Absolutely not. But it's part of our love and appreciation for Him. So the king, as King David came back. Now watch this now. We know that he met the wayward in Shimei. The last time the king seen him, he was throwing rocks at him, at his children, and at his servants. That's how the king met him when he returned. Then there was the waiting crowd. Old Mephibosheth hadn't trimmed his beard. Hadn't changed his clothes, hadn't even took a bath because he's been in mourning. He's been looking with anticipation for the king to return. And the king found him waiting for him. And old Barzillai, 80 years old, man, he had served. He had served and served and served. He had been a help unto David. And he met him, and David met that working crowd. But David met another crowd that what I consider to be without. Without what? Without God. Lost and undone. Listen now, watch this in chapter 20, in verse number 1 of 2 Samuel. That's along the same context here. 2 Samuel 20, verse number 1. There happened to be there a man of Belial, that's of the devil, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Now, that ain't what old Sheba said when the king left. That's what Sheba said when the king returned, which lets us know that he had no inheritance whatsoever with King David. He was without. He was without hope in the world, alienated from God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Here's a man that by his own admission, here he is. He said, we have no part in King David. Did you know there's a crowd today in our world that says, I have no part in King Jesus. Matter of fact, the majority of them are like that. You say, hey, you're so sure? Well, the Bible's pretty clear on that. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse number 13? Enter ye at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go into that, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which lead unto life, and few there be that find it. Many, according to the word of God, are heading down that broad road that leads to destruction, a place called hell. And they're going there with their hand up. Amen. But then that few crowd has trusted Christ. They said, man, I can't make this thing on my own. I want my sins forgiven. I want to go to a place called heaven one day. And they realize their lost condition. According to the word of God, John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When that person understands and realizes, Brother Harry, that when you come to the Lord, it ain't about my works. It ain't about me doing this, that, or the other. It's simply a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 10, 13 said, for whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put your name there. Makes no difference what you've done, where you've been. Your sins can be forgiven. But here's a man by the name of Sheba that is without God and without a relationship with King David. When he returns, and old Sheba boldly proclaimed, we have nothing to do with this man. Well, you know, even in Luke 19, in verse number 14, I just read you part of that text a minute ago, where he told, as King Jesus said, I'm going away to a far country. You occupy till I come. You be a good steward of what I got. The very next verse said this in Luke 19, in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. A lot of people got that mentality. It's my life. I can do what I want to. Not so. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Bible said we are bought with a price. We belong to God. And listen, to those that don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're missing. Man, the Christian life is not a bunch of a list of do's and don'ts. Man, I'm telling you, it is so satisfying. It is so rejoicing to have fellowship with the God of heaven, the one that hung the moon and the stars and the sun and created everything we have, gives us the blessings, allows us to live, move, have our being, gives us our faculties, gives us shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, wherever where we live, the family that we're in, the job that we have, everything we have belongs to Him. And I'm telling you, God's been good to us. And when you get in that fellowship at salvation, they ain't nothing like it, man. Nothing like it. But there's so many that are without that. But see, old Sheba was void of the blessings, not realized or recognized. He was void of an inheritance that he could have received. As the king come back in, he could have received the king. But you know what he said? Man, we ain't got no part in David. We don't want nothing to do with this fellow. And there's a lot of folks hold the same thought principle when it comes to the Lord Jesus. But listen to this, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ today, you and I are void of any inheritance in heaven. Now, all of us going to live eternally. There's a heaven to gain to those that know Christ, and there's a hell to shun that those that reject Christ. It's that simple. I mean, it's so simple that a little child can understand that. To understand the principles that God has laid out, but understand the inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus. Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, listen now, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You may inherit something. Maybe your grandmother, grandfather, maybe your mom or your dad's going to pass. Somebody's going to inherit you some kind of family heirloom. Did you know all that can be taken away with fire? Did you know that you might get some money, you might store that up somewhere in a safe, and then a thief comes in and breaks it, and breaks it and steals what you got? But man, what you got with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's untouchable. Untouchable. You talking about some assurance? You talking about some security? I mean, we put security in a lot. We got security around our house. We got security around the church. We got all kinds of things. Security on our vehicles and on our cars. We got the whatever that is, the security in the bank, the FICA, whatever that is, it gives you that security. But there ain't no security like being in the hands of the Lord. And Jesus even said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Often use this statement. Allstate said, you're in good hands. I don't believe that. But I believe you're in good hands with the Lord Jesus. Amen, because we're kept by the power of God. That's the inheritance we're going to. But here, old Sheba, he was without an inheritance. He was without a relationship with King David, and King David returned. Now, Sister Savannah comes. I want to ask you this question this morning. How will you meet the king? I ain't talking about King David. I'm talking about King Jesus. When David had been exiled and he went out, the last time he seen Shimei, he was throwing rocks at him. Not only him, but his kids and at his servants. Now the king has returned and he meets the wayward, Brother Harold. But he also, when he left old Mephibosheth, the one that he had showed kindness to in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, the one that he allowed to sit at his own table, is sitting there, he hadn't trimmed his beard, hadn't changed his clothes, hadn't taken a bath because he's in mourning. He's looking with anticipation. He's awaiting for the king to return, and the king finds him in that position. Old Barzillai at 80 years old. Somebody look at him and say, well, man, he's worn out. He's washed up. He can't do anything else. Yet he helped and he served the king. And he met old King David when he came back, and he was in that working condition. But then David returned. In 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 1, you find the sad plight of a man by the name of Sheba, the son of Bichri. He said, we have no part with David. King David found him without an inheritance. How many will Jesus find when he returns? Will he find you wayward? Will he find you waiting in anticipation? Will he find you working, giving all you got, not holding anything back, totally surrendering all? Is that how he's going to find you? Or is he going to find you without? Oh, preacher, one of these days I'm going to get saved. One of these days I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus. Why not today? The devil won't tell you don't get saved right now. He'll just say don't get saved today. Put it off a little bit. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus died for me and he died for you. I ain't preaching down to nobody. Say, preacher, I got a lot of problems. Well, just join the crowd. I got a lot of mistakes. Just join the crowd. Got a lot of sin. There's a lot in my past. Well, just join the crowd, man. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. Let's know, in other words, there ain't nothing the Lord can't forgive if you'll bring it to Him. But He's going to return one day. How are you prepared? Are you ready? You going to be found wayward? You going to be found waiting with anticipation? Are you working? Or are you going to be that crowd He's going to find without? Well, preacher, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to take my chances. Well, one day, you'll find out and you'll wish to God you'd give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, hell's real. It's just as real as heaven is. Well, preacher, what keeps me from going to heaven? There's only one thing. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Preacher, that question was asked. Acts 16, I give it off because it's so simple. Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. But you've got to come to Him. I can pray for you to be saved. There's going to have to come a time where you call on the name of the Lord. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not saved. I want to go to heaven one day. And if you get to that point in your life, you're going to have to call on Him. Well, preacher, I can't see God. Where's He at? You can talk to Him just like you're talking to me, just like I'm talking to you. He's a personal God that can hear, and we can come to Him and bring those petitions. If you need salvation, today's the day to get it. If you're not prepared, if there's some areas in your life that need to be worked on, the King is still going to come. How's He going to find us?
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, Preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.